We've never seen a perfect marriage.
But we have seen marriages that are full of laughter and life.
Conflict and misunderstandings.
Growth and hope.
We want to dive into the nuts and bolts of those relationships.
There are no experts here. Just real talk with real couples who really like each other.
This is Marriage Lab with Aaron
and Jenna.
Welcome to Marriage Lab.
I'm
Aaron.
And I'm your crazy wife, Jenna.
And we wanted to just, first of all, thank our Patreon supporters. Go to patreon.com/thehabitlab. And The Habit Lab covers both Marriage Lab and Jenna's podcast, The Habit Lab, which is incredible.
I think this was the second or third time, because it pays us like monthly. And actually, I don't know if I told you, I teared up. It's so tangible, like support. And that is the whole thing. If you guys would be willing to support our show, it helps us to continue to prioritize getting content. We're literally Sunday night, we put our kids to bed. It's in our calendar, but it does feel different, like the level of commitment.
No, it does,
feel like,
yeah.
Oh, I know people have monetarily backed us. Let's hit play, record.
So what you wanted to, in this episode, dissect a little tiff we had this morning.
Yes.
And Jenna said, hey, you want to talk about that on the podcast? And I said, yes. And what would it be about exactly? And you said, let's just kind of break apart like how we do this kind of stuff, the stuff we talk about.
Yeah, like step by step. And then also too, like what was happening inside of me, what was happening inside of you. I actually didn't tell you this before I hit record, but I thought even like to be more honest of like, I know we did the 10,000 foot view, but like this what I was afraid of, wasn't sure that was going to go. I felt defensive. Okay. So you're going to laugh, but this is a very funny.
This feels real life because every time somebody's like, me and my wife, when I'm talking to guys, me and my wife got in a fight today. It was over something so dumb, and it always is, because it's usually rarely about
the thing
itself.
It's about the emotions behind it and the stories you tell and the meaning. It's like, it always reminds me of a tennis match where it doesn't actually necessarily matter who served, but it's like the volley back and forth is where it goes good and bad.
Yeah. It started off, we're getting ready for church, and I have an electric toothbrush that, runs out of battery eventually, so you just put it on its charger.
I don't know if I told you this, but this is even good backstory. I do not have an electric toothbrush. I have a disposable battery-operated one, so that when it runs out of charge, I just throw it away.
The whole toothbrush? You said it has a battery. Can't you replace the battery?
Maybe.
Isn't that what the point of a battery-operated one
is? Well, I'm laughing. I didn't realize this earlier, but that's the aversion I feel to charging something that I have literally, for a year and a half, 2 years, gone through lengths to not have to charge my toothbrush. This is helpful information.
It is. Okay. I feel like we're about to get in a fight about something else.
Oh, I don't feel any emotion about it.
Oh, that's good. You don't. just spending a whole bunch of money on toothbrushes.
They are $8.
Oh, God. Don't tell me that. That's even worse.
I get one every like 6 months.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't know how often it was.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's what you're thinking. It's probably cheaper than your toothbrush.
If the battery's lasting 6 months, you might need a brush more often.
Okay, this fight was not about Jenna's dental hygiene. Yeah,
so we're getting back to it. When I charge my toothbrush, a little green light on it flashes. Most of the time I notice at night, when I'm brushing my teeth that it's losing battery. So I'm like, oh, okay. So then when I do charge it, it's typically at night. However,
tell them what happened today.
Okay. So what happened today was I started brushing my teeth and then the battery was low and I was like, I just put this on the charger the other night. How is it loose? I was like, oh no, this thing's going out. I said it out loud and Jenna, I'll try to quote you exactly. I think your words were something to the effect of, oh, I can't, it's hard for me to sleep when it is charging, which I assumed meant I took it off the charger.
It was the middle of the night, so I think I did. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't conscious. I think I was, like, not being able to sleep, but yes.
Sure, yeah.
I believe those words.
So I said, why don't you just cover it up? Because there's been times where when I did it, and the same thing was true. It kept me up because I used to sleep on that side of the bed where you'd notice it more often, easily. And so I would just put a towel around it. But when I did it the other night, I didn't think about it. And it didn't wake me up because I'm on the opposite side.
But you didn't say that. I think you're giving too much information. So you said you realized your toothbrush was charged.
You said it's hard to sleep when that's charging. And I said, why don't you just cover it up? Right?
Is that what I said? Something. Okay. And then I said, I paused. I think it was a little bit like a couple seconds because I was like, oh, this has, I don't know how to explain it, but when you can feel the charge, how you said it and the charge of how I was feeling, I was like, this could actually get big fast, or I could choose what I'm going to do next. And I just like, so I actually purposely lean into like not kind of speaking slowly. And I was like, okay, I feel, what do I want to be defensive right now. So then I simply said back, I'm afraid there wasn't any empathy for my, right? Is that next?
For me not being able to sleep well? You said there was a pause. And then you said, the story I'm telling myself is that you don't have any empathy for me not getting good sleep. And I said, that is
accurate. You paused for a second. You weren't like...
And then I said, that is accurate. I'm sorry, I don't have any empathy. And then I think I walked out.
Yeah. And I actually, that was it. So it was truly like 7 or 8 lines.
Uh-huh.
But it went really well. And then later on, we got in the car. Because, you know, like when you're leaving, I think that's the hardest part sometimes about things like this that become emotionally charged is rarely are they when you don't have children or you have the luxury of a lot of time. So one of the things that I'm aware of is that when we're in a hustle or we're hurrying, I actually don't let stuff feed into it because I know that I'm already not in a good headspace. So I'm like, that would just charge something that doesn't need to be charged, you know, like give it momentum in the wrong direction. So I kind of like disassociate, like, okay. And then once we finally got in the car, you were there, we had an extra kid. So we had 4 kids in the car headed to church. I was in the back seat.
Audrey's diabetes pump needed to charge. And so we have a short cord for it. So Jenna's like, hey, Audrey, why don't you sit in the front? I'll sit in the back. And then you went even further, and not just to the middle seat, but in the back seat. And so I thought, oh, Jenna's going through, because we hadn't actually talked after that moment.
And, because we were literally in a rush.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, wow, she really doesn't want to be near me. She's I was like, it makes sense. I was like, how convenient. She's figured out a way to not have to like make it clear that she doesn't want to be near me. She's just like, not trying to be near me. She's trying to be as far away as possible, all the way in the back.
So then we're headed out. He's driving and he makes eye contact with me in the back seat. And I realized like, oh, in the rearview mirror, I was like, we haven't talked. I can't read him. I could make up a bunch of stories and like about his motives, or I could just do a check. But I was like, how can I do a check without cluing the kids in? So I just gave him a thumbs. I said, I pointed to him and I was like, question mark. And then I wrote thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
Yeah, just motioned. Yeah. You said mimed you wrote. It. That's funny.
Oh, I wrote. No, I mimed thumbs up, thumbs middle, thumbs down. And I was smiling and he gave me a thumbs up. And then he pointed back to me, like indicating, asking me. And I was like, thumbs up. And then that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then later, when did you come back? Was it after church?
Yeah. On the way home from church, probably about the same spot on our drive. I said, gosh, what did I say? I said something to the effect of, hey, I want you to know that I do care about you getting good sleep. And, when I charge the toothbrush, I can make sure to put something that covers it up. Would that work for you? I think.
Mm-hmm. And then I think later on we talked more about some of the nuances of like our history with the toothbrush and how many times I haven't gotten sleep. And then me unplugging it in the middle of the night and actually prolonging the need for it to get charged, you know, like multiple nights. But it was cool because none of those things happened or really almost I realized we don't have the capacity to do the details before we had the heart connect. Mm-hmm. And even, so I think some of the wins that I would say is one, I guess the initial time when we were literally in the bathroom having the like 5 or 6 lines that we exchanged about the toothbrush, like feeling the increased energy and like, I could actually feeling defensive. Cause when you said, what did you say? You could just cover it.
I said, why didn't you just cover it up?
I instantly in my head thought, it's not my toothbrush. Wait, why wouldn't you just cover it if you're going to charge it? Like all these things. Mm-hmm. And as I'm thinking them, I'm like, oh, I'm being That might may or may not be true, but that will be taken. I think I'm hearing some energy in Aaron's voice. And if I go down that route, it'll increase like defensiveness. And I think I'm being defensive. Oh, if I'm being defensive, what am I trying to defend? So like, that's kind of my question usually in my head is like, because whatever I'm trying to defend, usually there's an emotion. So then I was like, what would be the most owning without blame or judgment or shame or reading his mind about what I could do? And that was just the simplest, like the story I'm telling myself, because I'm like, I actually can't read his mind, whether or not there's a judgment or this is true. This is just what I'm feeling and I'm looping on. And then to the, what's my emotion? So first, I think the key was that making sure I owned it. Like, I can't read your mind. So the story I'm telling myself is number one tool. Then number two was using emotion based, like I have fear that there's not empathy. And then explaining how it affects me without actually going through a ton of details, like the 10,000 foot view of like lack of sleep versus the nuance, like getting bigger, like zooming out.
There was no like, you always, you don't care, you don't like
accusation, judgment, remind me. Yeah. And then I think too, just pausing a bit, like I think I'm getting better at before I'm speaking when I feel, I almost think of it like defensiveness or when there's a lot of emotion, like high emotion, it feels like a chemical reaction's happening inside of me. And I recognize it enough now, like it's a tell that I'm like, hey, don't speak until you have a little more understanding of what's happening in you, that you just don't make a mess. Like I could just, it's almost like the shovel's in my hand and I could just go digging, but like, hey, it's actually worth taking a couple beats to figure out what you choosing your words wisely right now, rather than making a mess.
Yeah.
And then you were so amazing that you owned the, what did you say about the empathy? Like, I don't think I'm having a lot.
Yeah, right, I don't. I said that is accurate. I don't have any empathy.
But one of the things why that mattered to me, and I didn't need more of you, I actually, that felt like a total relief. Maybe younger, more immature Jenna would have been like offended by it. But I think I'm aware of how, I was aware in that moment of how much control that simple line of ownership took for you, like self-control. Like when I'm in your shoes, I would know how much self-control that would take. And this awareness, like I don't actually, if that is all he has to give right now, self-control wise, I'll take it. What I know to be true about Aaron is that I almost think about like self-control. I was telling my friend the other day, it's like, if that's all it takes, like you drained your reserve, the little reserve that you had in that moment for that moment, to give me that line. What I can trust and know about you, if I can be patient and not anxious and demand more than you like have right then, is you will recharge your self-control and you'll come back when you have more to give, rather than needing to be
needing like, to solve it right there.
Yeah, or perfectly, you to show up perfectly. I'm like, oh, I'll take that as a bit. And I know I can trust you to show up. And you did, like later on, without me micromanaging you, like you just freely offered it later.
Yeah, it was helpful to have the time to recharge, regulate there. I think what my tendency historically would be, if you said, hey, the story I'm telling myself is that you don't have any, you don't have empathy to give me for, me having a tough night's sleep with that. My natural reaction would be to ignore what you just said and interpret it as, you know, just a self-defense thing about why I'm wrong for having tried or come up with this thing. And I would just said something to the effect of like, if you said, you know, the story, no empathy, I would have said, if you would just cover it, then we'd both be fine. And I would, because I would just
skip over the tool.
I would totally skip over it. And I it felt almost wrong to admit it. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's not the best version of me, is just going like, I don't give a crap about your sleep. Just don't unplug my toothbrush charger.
What did you, anything inside of you believe though, that if I use the tools that I'd probably accept what you had to give and wouldn't jump down or like wouldn't choose a fence based on your honesty? Or no, you just, that's all you had to.
No, I don't think I thought anything about what was going to happen in you next. It was literally like, I said it and then I was like, okay. And then I walked out and I was like, all right, well, we're in it now.
Really? You thought it escalated to me? That totally de-escalated everything.
No, I always escalate after that. Cause I think I have so much, like I'm so geared up for a fight in those moments that like walking away is like it's a, that there's a buzz. It feels like a leftover electricity charge.
So funny. We had such a different experience.
And so when that's why I, when you got it, when you said, all right, Audrey, why don't you charge your pump in the front seat? I still had leftover like energy charge because I was constantly thinking. Like,
you were trying to mind read what I was doing.
Trying to figure out, yeah, what's going on in Jenna? How disconnected are we? But here's the thing that while I was still doing that, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't punishing you through my, or like, regardless of how you were feeling, I didn't want to talk short to you, talk, you know, curtly to you. I wanted to just like, if I was going to say something, it would be in a normal tone of voice. Oh, that's my version of a bid for connection is just say something in a normal tone of voice. Like, hey, do you need anything? I don't remember if I did say anything, but it is just to talk normal to you. Because actually, that's what I've found when we've had a tiff of some sort and you talk in a normal tone of voice to me, it de-escalates me greatly. Because suddenly I go, oh, I don't feel defensive when I'm like, oh, we're not in a fight. Jenna's actually not fighting me right now, or Jenna's not attacking me. And so then I'm like, oh, I can actually let my guard down, and it totally de-escalates me. The majority of the time, it's that softness or the kindness or just like the like, oh, hey, babe, did you get the blah blah blah? You know, or like, hey, look, why don't we do just normal talk? Is such. I don't know that I've ever said, I may have pointed that out before, but so yeah, I've been attempting to do the same
instead
thing.
Of saying I'm okay, just showing you I'm okay.
Yeah, showing you that you're not in trouble and that or that I'm not actually putting up my walls right now, which is, that was my normal MO forever. It was just like, I'm gonna put up my walls till you figure out you were wrong or something like that. Yeah,
I think for me in the like, I don't know, I said it briefly, but in the past, if you had just said like, yeah, I'm having a hard time finding empathy, I would have been so, even though you were honest, I would have been so offended or even like feel my right to be like, and that's how terrible he is. Or like, I cannot believe it. And I'd like want to poke at that further. But I think now I'm aware of how much that honesty cost and like thinking how much that would cost me in your shoes. And instead of, it's almost like instead of me having to drive it, it feels like the crack in the, like whatever we're going through. It's like the hope of like, okay, we're both choosing to own our parts. Like I'm owning my story and I'm not going to say that I can, you know, like make this more. And then you're owning that some of this is happening to you. I can let time play out where we get our nervous systems actually become more regulated. I don't need to push this through now. Like that actually makes more of a mess where like, and even too, having it be an honest answer. If I like an honest question, if I asked you if like that was the story I'm telling myself, if it was not, if I wasn't okay with the answer, it was a trap and you were going to get in trouble. Like that would make you not show up. Honestly, or have to be self-protection in the future versus like, I'd actually care more about your honest answer and wanting you to know you're safe to give me an honest answer and not punishing you. Cause I'm like, oh, we all get de-escalated. And then the funny part about the Audrey thing is that you didn't know in the house, like he'd gone out and Audrey and I were solo in the house. She had a lot of emotions about her pump and was trying to talk me out hardcore of letting her go to church. So I was like doing my best ninja moves parenting to get her there.
So sitting in the front seat is a big incentive for her.
100%. And then knowing that I have to go in the back. So that was all that was about. And then it wasn't until I was sitting in the back that it occurred to me also to any adult who's ever climbed into the third row seat
of an SUV.
Of any SUV. I'm like, oh my, it's like a clown car, like me trying to get out of it.
That's why I was like, man, she's going through some extreme lengths to not be near me.
No, my anger wouldn't have driven me to the back seat, only my love for my child.
That's good to know. That's I also noticed that when I knew, quote unquote, that we were in a fight that wasn't actually happening, I knew that my next move was to figure out a way to go like, hey, let me try again. because I knew I was defensive and I knew once I regulated, I could redo that and it would go well. But as I was like, okay, I was sitting in the front seat. I'm like, okay, you know, it's the right, I should just go ahead and do it. So I imagined myself doing the redo and we kept getting into a fight in my head, and I was because I was still dysregulated and I was picturing you saying something and me just going like, how dare she? And then I was like, oh, I'm not there yet, actually.
So you were playing it out in your head, and because it couldn't, it kept going awry in your head, you realize I'm not ready to have the real conversation.
Yeah, I realized I was that when my imaginings always end up in a fight, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still really defensive right now. So
it's cool because I think I used to punish you for those things or just like judge you for being there. But the awareness of like, you're actually protecting me because you're dysregulated. So can I sit on the time? I think that's really like the biggest gift is being okay to sit on time. Yeah. Like to not push you through, be like, that's cool.
That is different than ignoring.
Yeah.
Ignoring the problem and going like, for us, it's intentional. I think that's the difference, is we are being intentional to pause so that we can regulate because we both plan on coming back. Whereas avoidance would be, let's ignore this and let's act like it never happened so that when we're both regulated again, we can just kind of breeze over it. But I think you and I, when we know we have a disconnection, even if we feel fine about it later, I think just about every time we look to like repair in some way, shape, or form. Because I think one of the things we realize is when we don't, and we do, if we do let time, you know, it doesn't quote unquote heal it, but when we let time regulate us, but we ignore it, those are the things that we wind up storing up as evidence against the other person.
You know what? I think one of the reasons that I knew we'd come back to it is when you had said, yeah, I don't have empathy. I knew that you wouldn't leave it there. You're not the kind of person that would be okay with that being the statement. So it was like, he'll come back.
That's good. Thanks for thinking well of me.
And it was cool too in the moment when I felt like initially before I said the story I'm telling myself is that I'm afraid you don't have empathy for me not getting sleep. Is internally, I was trying to tell you all the reasons why you should, or actually all the like logistics of how this could be solved. And when I was going through, that's my clue to myself. Going through like a ton of logistics, that equals, because I'm more solution oriented, defensiveness to me. And then whenever I'm that defensive, I'm like, wait, stop. It almost, again, it feels like pulling the e-brake on this mental gymnastics I'm doing about all the possible solutions. I'm like, pain behind the problem. Don't go to logistics. That means there's pain. What emotion are you feeling? So it almost is just like a red flag for me to realize like, oh, because I don't know that I would have realized. It felt so logistical.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Toothbrush charging.
Yeah, there's a light on the toothbrush. How do we solve the problem of you not getting sleep because there's light on my toothbrush and me wanting to brush my teeth with a fully charged toothbrush?
It feels like that, like, choose your red pill or your blue pill. Am I going to go logistics, you know, from the Matrix?
Yeah.
Or am I going to, like, actually do this with vulnerability and communication with emotion? So
I did think to myself, if we have any electric tape, I can literally put it over that light and solve both of our problems.
And that's the cool part, is when I do emotions, what I know, like maybe there's this part of me that goes, are we ever going to solve this? Like, there is actually some logistics that need to be worked out. And I just like sit, I almost feel like tapping that part of me. I'm like, hey, we'll get there. This is the putting the horse before the cart. So like, be okay. And it's cool how much after we connected and did the slow like steps of repair over the course of the morning, then some of the logistics just literally followed like they always do.
I don't even think we talked. It was just me saying, hey, yeah, can I just put a cloth over it at night and make sure there's no light? But the reality is I think I said that, like, why don't you just put a cloth over it? So that quote-unquote could have been the logistical solve, but that wasn't actually the problem. The pain that was behind that logistical quote-unquote problem.
I think that's one of the reasons that I realized there's more pain was because I was like, wait, I shouldn't, you know, like if you're plugging it in and you cared about me, you'd put the cloth on. And then I was like, oh, that there's some fear here of does he care about me versus like making accusations, because like, it could have been a judgment really easy. It's like, that's not fair. I can't read his mind. So again,
it's crazy how pausing. Much went into that.
For like truly six sentences. It was hours of slow repair.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
the point is, let's see, recap. Don't read other people's mind. Be like, take the time to become self-aware.
I think the mind reading is a human thing and will happen. However,
recognize
it and own it. The fact that you're doing that.
Give an honest question, like if you're actually looking for what is happening, and if they give an answer, even if you don't like it, do not choose offense, because that's a trap. That's not actually going to be the road towards connection.
And you said pausing. I think slowing down, like this quick, like back and forth. Your pause actually gave the whole thing room to breathe. If you had jumped back real quick, I would have taken the bait immediately, and I would have, you know, really dove into the deep end there. So thank you for that pause.
And then too, thank you for your honesty about owning it, because it's like admitting you weren't your prettiest version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one, well done, sir. And then us both in the car when we thought. Yeah,
just making a bid for connection.
So even the fact that you gave me an honest thumbs up when I asked, or you answered, you know, it was kind of a silly juvenile way to describe, to like ask in the middle of being surrounded by so many children. And you could have ignored it or been offended, but you're like, oh, she must be okay if she's doing this.
Yeah.
And choosing to connect that way just gave me the peace to be normal the rest of the morning. So
it's good.
Yeah, there you go. There's a deep dive into toothbrush charging.
Yeah.
But
important.
Okay, if you this have
is,
one.
This is literally what marriage problems that last for years are made up of, all these 100 different small logistical things that become way, you don't care about me because you don't care about how I'm sleeping, or you make everything my problem. Why don't you just, you know,
you always think the worst of me, or you assume I'm selfish, or
all the stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot, but okay.
Oh, you were about to say something like put it in the.
Oh, I was going to say, send me a message on Instagram at Jenizant telling me a silly fight you've had in the last week, or something that instigated.
Yeah, like us, that ours would be we fought over charger. Who overcharging the toothbrush. Yep.
So we want to hear yours. Okay, guys, have a great week.
Yep. Love you guys.